Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. This is Kelly Harris speaking. I'd like to thank you all for calling in. For those of you who will be downloading this program later on, I welcome you as well. Let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We pray, Lord, that you give the words to your servant, that these words that you once said will be your words, not my own, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, we're still on our discussion about the origins of the Messiah, or we could say the origins of the Christ, if you want to. Last time I taught it, we went over, I believe it was John, and we got to the book of Psalms. But let's go further now to some other aspects of the Old Testament, going over what the Messiah was going to do. So if you turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 7, obviously we're not going to go over all the scripture that is in the Old Testament today, but I just want to go over a fraction of some of them, because when we read it, you kind of get a real eye-opener about, well, gee, this did happen, because when we read the four Gospels, we see it right there. So if you turn with me now to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 10. If you turn with me now, let us read together. Again, the Lord spoke to us, ask for a sign from the Lord, from your God. Let it be deep in Sheol, or as high as the sky. But Uz answered, I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord. Then he said, listen, house of David, it is not enough that you are weary human beings. Must you also weary of my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The young woman pregnant and about to bear a son shall name him Emmanuel. Curds of honey he will eat, so that he may learn to reject evil and choose good. For before the child learns to reject evil and choose good, the land of those two kings whom you dread shall be deserted. The Lord shall bring you and your people, your father's house, such as a day as has not come since Ephraim, descended from Judah, king of Assyria, on that day. The Lord shall whistle for the fly in the father's streams of Egypt, and from the bee in the land of Assyria, and all of them shall come and settle in the steep ravines, and in the rocky cliffs, on all the thorn bushes, and all the pastures. So you see that we know a woman will be the one who will give birth to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will call him Emmanuel. Now, I know in Isaiah, it mentions a lot of things about Jesus in the book of Isaiah, including that the Gentiles will even call him a light, because he'd be a light for the Gentiles. And as I say to my Jewish brothers and sisters, that even though many of you do not believe in Jesus being the Messiah, you cannot argue that you consider us Gentiles, and I say this with respect, I'm not being anti-Semitic, that without Gentiles knowing who Jesus was or is, we wouldn't know about Adam and Eve. We wouldn't know about God's creation. We wouldn't know about the prophets. We wouldn't know about God giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Because remember, it was only you, my friend, who are of Jewish descent your people were the only ones before Christ came, were the only ones who knew God and had a relationship with God. Well, the rest of the world were not a part of them. And that was because of the covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what made, because of that covenant, that's what made him your people. And God gave the laws to your people. However, with the promise of the Messiah coming, he was going to come as a suffering servant to bring redemption not only to the house of Israel, but also to the Gentiles who want to be part of the family of God, the house of Israel. And so we Gentiles, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are grafted in, we are adopted into the house of Israel, and we are now part of God's family. Now, I know many religions, when they debate about this, they get violent. This even happens to people who say they're Christians as well. We could look at the past about people being put to death or put in jail because someone in their religious view and Christianity has done this. But Christianity or Judaism was never supposed to be a religion in the first place, so we shouldn't be trying to kill one another off. Christians shouldn't be killing each other off. Jews shouldn't be killing each other off. And Christians and Jews should not be at each other's throats. Okay, this is what I'm saying. Remember, it was religion that killed Jesus. If Jesus had followed the religious establishment, he never would have been killed because he would have followed the religious establishment of his time. But he did not, because when they began adding stuff that was not in the Torah, that's what separated them from God. Not the Jews. I'm talking about the Jewish leadership of the Sanhedrin, the support of the Talmud. And I'm not going to be too hard on the Talmud because I can pinpoint people who belong to Christian denominations, such as Catholicism or even Protestantism churches, have followed more of their traditions and made their traditions into a religion than following the Word of God, and that is what has made them separated from God. And throughout history, we read about Christian fighting Christian, putting each other to death. In some areas of the world, this still goes on, where I believe it's somewhere in Mexico or even South America, where Catholic priests encourage their parishioners to attack new converts to Christ who are not Catholic, and which is wrong. And we could point out the fight between what's going on between Northern Ireland, between the Protestants and the Catholics. Both will tell you who is the leader of their church, and they'll say Jesus Christ. But yet, as we know through the history of Northern Ireland, both sides have tried to kill one another in the name of religion. But you see, when you put religion and try to follow Christ, it never works because you're not following anything of his teaching about loving one another. If you say, yes, you should love one another, then try to plant a bomb in your neighbor's car because you think that he's worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ wrong, you are not following them. You are following whatever tradition, religious philosophy you have, and you never have been a part of it. Okay? So, we have to watch out for adding religion within our beliefs, because when we start doing that, we start falling away from what is being taught by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's see. Reason I'm stopping here, because I'm trying to find what other passage do I want to share with you all about the coming of the Christ? What was said? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, and let's read that. Those who walk in darkness have seen great light upon who lived in the land of gloom. A light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. they rejoicing before you as a people rejoice at harvest, and they exult when dividing the spoil for the yoke that you burden them, the pole of their shoulder, the rod of their taskmaster, and you are smashed as the one of the day of Midian. For every boot that trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burnt as fuel for fire. For a child is born to us, a son given to us, upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder, Counselor, God, Hero, Father, Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful upon David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Again, we see what was going to happen when the Christ came. And he is a wonderful counselor, is he not? Now, if you walk in the Spirit, and you're praying for anything, it could be a good thing in your life that you're getting right now, and you're praising him for that good thing. Maybe you're being attacked by the enemy, and you're praying him right there, but the Lord is over here. We know he's a wonderful counselor because it says so right over here. And when you're going to the New Testament and you read the four Gospels, you witness this. You witness how Jesus was a wonderful counselor. Then when you go to the apostle, you see how his wonderful counselship, how he affected the apostles when his Holy Spirit was upon them, how they taught you and I how to act like children of God, how to behave within the church. And that's the goals we should look at for within the church. And we had especially when we had disagreements within the body of Christ. We shouldn't go and start telling rumors about somebody to drive them out of the church. Rather, if you really follow Christ, you have a meeting and you talk about your differences. And if you cannot get over your differences about silly theological things, in my opinion, my friends, I don't think Christ wants us to fighting over theological things. Because what's important for him is for you and I to be out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we're supposed to be doing. And what we should do is agree to disagree and continue working together as brothers and sisters in Christ and bring in people who want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For if the world sees you and I fighting, they're going to consider you and I as a part of them. And they're going to say, why should I change when I see brother so-and-so fight brother so-and-so over a theological matter? So let's not try to drive one another from our churches. Let's not go the way the world does. There's petty gossip and rumors. In fact, there are some people out there who may not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they act better than we do when it comes to gossiping and rumors. And my goodness, those are the people we should be getting instead of fighting among ourselves, because they're very close to entering into the kingdom of heaven than we are, and we should have that in mind, and we should want them to be part of our family and tell them the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ, rather than letting petty religious beliefs that we may have get in the way of bringing a person to Christ, because that is more important. Christ doesn't care about our theological ideas. What he does care about is for you and I to be humble, obey him, be like him upon the earth. Bring people to him. Let him come into the house of God. Let him be a part of the family of God. Then getting into our religious bubble of blues where we fight over nonsense, over ridiculous things. Remember, the main part that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ is our faith in him and our love that we share with him and our growth with him. That's what we should be focusing on, not theological matters about, let's say, about holidays or try to accuse our our fellow Messianic Jewish partners who believe in Jesus say, well, you shouldn't be celebrating Jewish holidays. That's the Old Testament. Well, my friends, before the 4th century, Christians were celebrating old Jewish holidays before that. Remember, Jesus was not born on December 25th. I have no problem with people celebrating Jesus on December 25th if they want to. But those who don't want to, I don't have a problem with that either, because the main thing of celebrating Jesus at all is following him. Jesus didn't demand us to celebrate his birthday, but this happened in the 4th century when Constantine made Christianity the state religion of the Roman Empire, and he Romanized it, thus making many people bring a pagan religion into the church, which was a mistake. I have no problem with people celebrating Easter during the springtime either, because as we know, to get people to stop celebrating Esther, who is supposed to be the god Baal's wife, they say we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this day. So let me say this, that we should always celebrate Christ's resurrection in our hearts every day. We don't have to have a day to celebrate it, even with Christmas. We don't need to do that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with any Christian wanting to celebrate any Jewish holidays, because the early Christians did the same thing. The other two was a condition that was ruled by the Roman Emperor Constantine. So, which do you want to choose? If you want to celebrate Christmas and remember Christ's birth on that day, that is fine. But if someone doesn't want to do it, that is fine also, because they already had Christ in their heart and they're celebrating Christ's birth every day in their heart, and they glorified him, including his resurrection. They glorify it. So basically, this is what I'm talking about, stupid theological things that get in our way of following him. We shouldn't let these theological things get in our way of following Christ Jesus. Rather, we should just agree to disagree on certain things and move on and bring people to Christ Jesus, and focusing on that it's Christ's love and his blood and his dedication, that he died for our sins and his resurrection for us, that he conquered death. That is the important thing, that we are now forgiven by the Heavenly Father. By him, we are saved. Through him, we have redemption. And that is the thing we should tell our friends out there. And my goodness, my friend, we shouldn't debate over silly things, even over baptism at all, about someone being baptized in the correct way. If you feel the Holy Spirit come into you when you were baptized, then you are saved. Going over a little pity-pat matter is not going to bring anyone closer to the Lord. What is going to bring people closer to the Lord is basically, and let them walk with the Lord, and let them be a part of the family of God, and let us all get along and love one another, like Jesus said. Jesus did not tell this to the lost out there, because the lost had no idea who he was. He was telling that to people who found him, who were lost, who came to him. And he's telling you and I that we should love one another, meaning, stop fighting over theological matters and get to his business again by continuing his ministry by loving others and one another, and loving one another ourselves. Amen? Amen. Now, I'd like to find one more page. Let me see. Maybe two more. Let me see. Let me see where I am. Let's go for one more, my friend. Let's see. Okay. Let's go to Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, let among the clans of Judah, from you shall come from me, one who is the ruler of Israel, whose origin is from the old, from the ancient of times. The ancient of times, who is the ancient of times? That is the Lord, who came from out of our time, because he created our time, did he not now? Because he is eternity, did he not? So that's where he's saying where our Lord came from, because he is, because he became a man. Therefore, the Lord will give them up until the time, and he who gives them birth is done. He's born, I mean. And the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall take his place as a shepherd by the strength of the Lord, by the majestic name of the Lord his God. They shall dwell securely, for now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. They shall be peace. Now really, as we spread his name around the world, we are spreading the great news of Jesus Christ around the world, but one day he will return. And as I said, when I talked about this last time, that one day Christ will come to the earth. Now, people might be saying, well, why hasn't he come yet? Well, they also probably wondered once upon a time, why hasn't the Messiah come yet? When Jesus was born. But he did come. Christ think it was more important to tell of his birth. His holy angels didn't go to the rulers of the world at the time, did he not? No. Didn't go to the Sanhedrin, did he not? No. What was more important to the Lord was for an angel to announce the birth of Jesus were shepherds. Isn't that something? See, the Lord doesn't appreciate people putting on airs. He judges people by the heart. And he went to the shepherds to see the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, basically, in Micah, he's talking about a day when Jesus will come and basically destroy all of Israel's enemies. So we see that this will happen one day, as we know about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ that actually did come. Again, as I said, those who try to scoff at this, remember, you wouldn't even know who Jesus was if people didn't believe in him. And the fact of it is, everything that Jesus did, he did according to Scripture, like going into Jerusalem on a donkey. That is mentioned in the Old Testament as well. Jesus talks about the suffering servant dying. And that's exactly what happened as well. We know in the book of Psalms, when I read last time to you all, about when David had a vision of what the Messiah was going to go through. He saw the Messiah, who is Jesus, saw people gambling for his cloth that was hung, that was nailed to a tree, which we know was a cross. So we see all that. We see how what Jesus was going through at this time when he was upon the cross. So we know all this is coming through. See, God has a plan. It's not man's plan. If it was man's plan, God would have brought judgment right away upon the earth after his resurrection rather than giving you and I a chance to live. Because, remember, the Lord hated sin so much, he destroyed the world with water. By bringing judgment upon himself as Christ Jesus in his return, if he wanted to, he could have only had the people who believed in him stay upon the earth and wiped out the whole earth for their own sin. But he didn't do that. He gave everyone a chance because the Lord is fair. Because there are people around the world that can have honors to say, why are you judging me? I never knew who you were. And that is the truth. They would not have known who he was. So he very well couldn't judge them and say, well, you disobeyed what I said. I gave you these laws. The only people who could have said we knew your laws were the children of Israel. No other person living outside of Israel could have said this. So what he had his apostles do, he had them teach them the Torah. Because remember, when the apostles were preaching Christ throughout the Middle East and parts of Europe, they had to go by the Torah. They didn't have a New Testament to go by. They had to go by the Torah, teach them the Torah, and show them how the Torah came true about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, that's how many became converts during that time, because the Holy Spirit was moving a lot of people at that time too, because here the Holy Spirit, not only was he helping the apostles preach, his Spirit was moving people's hearts towards him. He was like a magnet drawing them to him. And it still goes on today. I firmly believe that Jesus knows, or I should say the Heavenly Father knows, that there's going to be one Gentile, the last Gentile, who gets saved, and that's when he's going to come get his church, and then you'll see other things happen before Christ comes. He'll get his church. Then, and then, it all goes back to Israel, and all of it goes back to Israel, where you'll see Israel coming to the Lord Jesus Christ through the prophets who God will send to Jerusalem, and they'll proclaim that Jesus is Lord as the Antichrist wants them destroyed and does kill them. But I think what really makes the children of Israel in the future believe that Jesus will be Lord is when they see these prophets of the Lord, as we see in the book of Revelation, arose from the dead and taken up to heaven. That's when they will believe. So that day will come. We know the day of the Gentiles, where the Spirit of the Lord came out and he became a light for us, has come true. If it wasn't so, we should be worshiping a very pagan God. And in the United States and for the rest of the world, we'd be living in a different world if not for coming down 2,000 years ago. Think about it. If many Europeans had not followed Christ, there'd be a lot of pagan worshipers. And you remember, in the first century, the Roman Empire was a culture of death. No doubt, their empire would have collapsed anyway, but another empire, as it did happen in history, would have conquered it. However, Christianity would not have conquered them, where they would have believed in Christ Jesus. They would have continued on with a barbaric way of a culture of death, and this world would have been a lot different. Just think about it, my friend. You'd find a lot of genocide going on. We're horrified today about the genocide today. We're horrified about what happened to the Jews during World War II, the genocide right there. But Hitler also killed a lot of Slavs. He killed many people who were homosexual, and he killed many people who were gypsies out there. So he did a lot of genociding out there. We know what happened in Cambodia, where educated people were killed in Cambodia because they wanted to dumb down a system of people to rule when that nation became communist. And on and on and on. How horrified we are, but thing of it is, if our ancestors had never known Christ, we and the who are European, there would have been no movement to free the slaves in the United States. Why? Why should we? Because part of the argument of freeing the slave was slavery, many people on the other side were saying, was anti-Christian, anti-Christ. They believed this. And without Christ in the equation, they never would have pushed for the ending of slavery. Slavery probably would have still continued. A lot of genocide in the West would have continued. But because of the belief of Jesus Christ, it has not done this. So remember, my friend, scripture about Jesus being the Messiah that actually came true in the four Gospels. We are today continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ, as Christ told us to go out there to the world. Remember that? Go to the world. Tell them about the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. He told us them to do that. And that's a message for you and I today. Continuing the message that Jesus preached 2,000 years ago to all nations of the world. Amen to that, my friend. And until Christ comes, we'll be doing his work. Until he comes and proclaims his kingdom physically upon this earth. Amen. My friends, we're going to stop here for today. We'll continue on next week with another lesson. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives, and may you all be blessed by him forever. May you all have a good day, and I say this in the name of Jesus.